Matthew chapter 28. We'll begin in verse number 1 and just read these 20 verses. Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. And so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but others doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it's a wonderful thing to be able to assemble on Easter and to be able to talk about this subject of the resurrection. And Lord, there is no gospel message without the resurrection. And Lord, there's no hope for life after death except for the resurrection. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would speak and minister to our hearts as together as Christians, we look back and we celebrate this great event and all that it made available for us. Lord, if there's someone here that has never been saved, Lord, I know what it is to walk into a church and not be saved. I remember, Lord, what it is to sit in church and listen and have the Lord speak to my heart. And I pray, Lord, that if someone's here today and they've never been saved, that at the conclusion of the message, Lord, they'll receive Jesus Christ as their Savior so that they, Lord, can have then that assurance of eternal life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. On most Sundays, the average Sunday in the course of a year, the subject on which the preacher will preach is somewhat of a mystery. You walk in the door, you sit in the pew, and perhaps you'll wonder, okay, where are we going in the Bible today? What's going to be the subject preached on today? And for whatever reason, I'm just going to share this with you. I've noticed this amongst preachers. They seem to be somewhat secretive about their sermon topics. I don't know why it is. It's almost like if we tell anybody ahead of time, we've jinxed it somehow. I don't know why we do that. But sometimes I'll be preaching away from Blessed Hope, and I'll be sharing a pulpit with another preacher, and maybe we're preaching at a conference together, a youth rally together, a camp or something, and I'll ask, "What are you preaching on tonight?" And more times than not, I'll get a very vague answer. Something like, you know, "Well, I'm not sure yet. Got a couple of different messages on my heart." Usually that probably means the guy hasn't studied. He has no idea. He's hoping to put something together before he gets to the pulpit. He'll say, "I'll see where the Lord leads." And so he may have already decided, but for some reason we don't want to let everybody know. But on a handful of Sundays each year, You know what, as a congregation, as God's people, you can pretty much know what the subject matter of the Sunday morning message is going to be. The Sunday morning before Christmas, you're going to hear a message on the birth of Christ. And somewhere near Valentine's Day, you'll hear a message on the subject of love or marriage. Mother's Day Sunday, you're going to hear a sermon encouraging and honoring moms. And then Father's Day, hey, it'll be Dad's turn. And then you have the 4th of July, and you'll probably hear something patriotic about that at Blessed Hope. And then near the end of August, you'll probably hear a message encouraging you to remember your pastor's birthday. And so I usually throw something like that in there in the middle towards the end of August. By the way, that would be August 30th. I don't see you writing it down. I'm waiting, August 30th. And so, you know, some things are predictable. They're predictable. Memorial Day, there'll be a sermon about remembering, and Labor Day, probably some preacher somewhere is preaching against slothfulness. And Thanksgiving weekend, well, you know, we're going to hear a message on the subject of gratitude, and all of these things are right and appropriate. And I think if there's any Sunday you can come to church and be pretty confident of the theme of that day, it's going to be on Easter Sunday. And I've been preaching now for 39 years. 39 years ago, I surrendered into the gospel ministry. And I've been full-time in the ministry now for 31. I've preached on, I think every aspect of the resurrection story. I got to looking back because our website, so in 06, I can tell you, in 06, I preached on the importance of the resurrection. On 07, the three resurrections. I don't even know how I came up with three. I have no idea. I'm going to go back and listen to that message. I was young in the ministry, so in 08, I preached on the subject, the stone was rolled away. In 09, what happened on the resurrection day? 2010, I preached a message entitled The Life and Times of One Called Death. In 2011, the Easter Messenger. 2012, every Sunday is Easter Sunday. And in 2013, I preached on the subject of life after death. In 2014, reactions to the resurrection. 2015, the first person to see the risen Christ. In last year, or 2016, I should say, if Jesus is not in the tomb, then where is he? And then on the subject then of living in the power of the resurrection. And I think that's just one preacher in just a 10-year span, 11-year span. And yet I think of the tens of thousands of sermons that will be preached just on this Easter Sunday, not only across our nation, but around the world. And I can say this, though, folks, no matter the title or no matter the focus on the varied aspects of whatever each Easter sermon is, I think that the main message always remains the same, and that's this. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. And so we're not going to stray too far from that this morning either, but I was taken in by this first Easter sermon, and I thought about these women that the Lord had sent that Easter morning. And here it says in chapter 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. Sabbath, of course, is a Saturday. We're dawning into Sunday, the Lord's Day. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And then look what happens. God is going to send from heaven a messenger, a messenger. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And then it describes this angel. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The keepers are the soldiers that was assigned by Pilate to guard the tomb, because the Jews came to him and said, he said that he would rise from the dead and some of his disciples will come and steal his body, so make it secure. And so they rolled the stone in the way, in the entrance of that. They sealed the tomb, not only put the stone, they sealed the tomb, and then they put a guard around it. And you know what? An angel of the Lord came down and he took care of all of that, rolled the stone back, sat down on top of it for fear of him. These are Roman soldiers. And yet for fear of this angel, the keepers, the soldiers did shake and become as dead men. And then the angel answered and said unto the woman, and folks, it's not real long, but you're about to hear the first Easter sermon. Here it is. Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. That's the first Easter message right now. Wow, isn't that something? The first Easter message was preached by an angel. Now, I'd like you to focus our attention this morning on this angel that preached this message for just a minute. Who's the messenger preacher? This angel's found in Matthew's account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know who he was. I don't know if it was Gabriel, because we're not told. I don't know if it was Michael the archangel that had this privilege, because again, we're not told what his name was. This angel remains nameless, and I think maybe God did that on purpose, because he wanted on this day there to be only one name that is the focal point of the message. And I hope that that's true at Blessed Hope Baptist Church today. You know what? This message to this morning is not about Jerry Ross. It's about Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so it doesn't really matter who the messenger was. What's important is the message. And I couldn't help but wonder, though, how this particular angel was chosen for this privileged assignment. But I don't know how he rated this opportunity, but I'm sure that he considered it a great honor to be the one that got to come down and preach that first Easter message. And I look in the Bible about his appearance. In verse 2, we see him descending from heaven. He appeared amidst a great earthquake. He appeared both bright and white in verse number 3. He performed the appointed task, and he paralyzed the opposition. And what an entrance. Well, what a platform. What a pulpit to be able to stand on top of the very stone that was rolled away, and from that stone preached the first resurrection message. What an opportunity, what a blessing. Preacher, what do we find in this first Easter sermon? Well, number one, we see the first Easter sermon was a message of comfort. Isn't it interesting that the very first thing that the angel said to those women was, fear not ye, fear not. Now, to me, I think that this is somewhat humorous. It's a kind of a funny part of the resurrection story. I mean, a supernatural being, okay, flies down from heaven, lands in a graveyard, causes an earthquake, flashes like lightning, blinds them with whiteness, causes soldiers to faint, rolls a gravestone away, plops on top of it, looks over at a group of huddled, terrified ladies and says, fear not, fear not. Well, it's easy for him to say, you know. But I think that God on purpose started the message with that, because on this Easter Sunday in 2018, there may not be a more needed or a more comforting message that I could give you than this. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ should eliminate most every single fear that's in this room today. 118 times in the Bible, God instructs us to fear not, or to not fear, to not be afraid, to fear not him or them or man. And yet, you know, what we find, each and every one of us, is we're honest times where we're fearful about the future. And you know what? I think that the number one thing that people fear the most is death. And isn't it appropriate that on Resurrection Sunday, the angel started the message by saying, fear not? Why were they told they didn't have to fear? Because God has sent me. And by the way, you may be afraid of me, but we're on your side. There's legions more like me, this angel might have said, and we are on your side. The earthquake, don't worry about that. It was just there to remind the world that your God is a great and powerful God, and that power is there to protect you, not to harm you. I think maybe that angel could say, fear not, because he could point down to those soldiers and say, see, don't be afraid of them. The godless governments can send as many armed warriors as they will, but God wanted me to show you what the appearance of just one angel would do to them. We don't have to fear. I think that angel, fear not, said, was maybe saying, see this massive stone? It wasn't too much for God. Man can put anything he wants to in the path of God's work, but nothing man can do can prevent from God from carrying out his will. I mean, pile up 1,000 stones, 1,000,000 stones. Fear not, Christian. God can move mountains if he chooses. What was he saying that morning? Death is nothing. God is greater. The grave is nothing. God is greater. This first Easter sermon conveyed this message. Don't worry, children. Don't worry, saints of God. Don't worry, teenager. The God who spoke the universe into existence still sits on the throne. He's still in charge. And all of his power and all of his might is available to his people and his work. So let the world fear God, but never let a Christian fear the world. And so that very first message was a message of comfort. Let me draw your attention to the next thing that he said. The first Easter message also proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what else he says next? He says, I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Here it is. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Now look at that phrase. Look what he just said. He spoke of the crucifixion. Obviously, he was dealing with the idea of him, of the burial of Christ. And then he proclaimed the resurrection. Folks, that is the resurrection. That is the gospel story. If we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. That word gospel means good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Folks, that's the gospel story. I mean, he dealt with the subject of the crucifixion. He dealt with the subject of the three-day burial. But then he proclaimed the good news of the gospel. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Not only had he rolled that stone off to the side and sat on top of it, he pointed down and said, peek your head in there and take a look and see if you find him. You know what? Jesus was not there. I think that first sermon was designed to remind us that Jesus keeps his promises. You see, he promised that he would rise again the third day. And you know what? Can I say this? Jesus still keeps his promises. I mean, he promised to save us if we would call upon him, come to him, acknowledging our sin, come with a repentant heart, come believing by faith. He promised that he would save us. And if you've done that, then you're saved. Well, how do I know that for sure? Because he promised. You know, he promised that he would adopt us into his family. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. By the way, he promised to meet our needs. He promised to walk by our side. He promised he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He promised to provide our daily bread. And by the way, he promised us one of these days that we'd be in heaven. You know what, folks? You don't have to fear. You know why? Jesus keeps his promises. Hey, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you ever understood the gospel? Did you notice that first part of the gospel? It says that how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. A lot of people understand that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. But the gospel is not just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's understanding that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. There's a lot of people say, well, I believe Jesus died. I believe he was buried. I believe he rose again. Do you understand his death was in payment for your sins? That he died for your sins? And if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you this, forgiveness is available to you. And God loves you. And you know what? That first Easter message, we're not changing much of it. We're just telling you what was said this morning. And that's this, that God in heaven came up with a plan whereby man can be redeemed. And you know what? He sent Jesus to die for my sins and to die for your sins and to die for the sins of the whole world. And when the Holy Spirit of God begins to convict us of our sin and begins to convince us of our need of salvation, folks, that's something I can't do. I can proclaim the message, but the Holy Spirit of God has to do the work. And you know what? If you're sitting out there this morning and you don't know that you're 100% sure, if you're not 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven, and I say that very statement, if God begins to stir something inside of you, and I want you to understand what's happening. If you hear that, a preacher say, do you know 100% sure that you're going to heaven, and something begins to move in your heart and inside of you, that I want you to understand what's happening. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we certainly want you to be saved today if you've come here without Jesus as your Savior. So that first Easter sermon, it was about fear not, but it was also about proclaiming the gospel. But I want to show you then the message isn't done yet. The first Easter sermon also included a command for them to go and tell. Look at verse number 5. Let's review the message. Fear not ye. There it is. Fear not. For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. There's the gospel. And then he says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Now, you know what? That shouldn't surprise us at all, because it seems like that most of the Bible, you know what? You can read it. Most of the New Testament, in almost every book of the New Testament, somewhere along the line, you will find verses urging us to share the gospel, urging us to proclaim the gospel. So this first Easter Sunday wasn't just to astound them, it was to empower them with a message. This wasn't something that they were supposed to learn about and then keep in their heart and hide. This was something that they were supposed to go out with an urgency and tell others, go and tell, go and tell. One of the reasons that I read the entire chapter, is it interesting that the chapter dedicated to the resurrection also ends with the Great Commission? If you look at the end of the chapter in Matthew 28, verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so it doesn't surprise us. This Easter angel, not only did he say, hey, you know what's happened here? Jesus has died. And yes, you watched it. And I know you were distraught. And I know you were discouraged. And yes, you know what? You watched them lay him in a borrowed tomb, and you watch the soldiers come and seal the tomb. But you know what? The gospel is now complete. Jesus, the gospel's now complete. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Now you have the complete gospel. Go tell everybody. Go tell everybody. Go tell everybody. The urgency of the command. Here we are, folks, over 2,000 years later, and you know what? Preachers are still going to the pulpits and telling people, and good Christian folks are still walking out the door of Baptist churches and picking up gospel tracts and said, you know what, I'm going to spread the story again this week. All across our church this week, folks were out in all kinds of different varieties and kinds of visitation programs. What are we doing? We're just obeying that first Easter sermon. We're obeying the Great Commission that was given to us. If you're saved, what I'm saying is this. If you're saved, don't hide it. If you're saved, tell somebody else. If you're saved, hey, folks, we're kicking off our spring attendance campaign. I'm going to tell you something. The month of April, I can go ahead and tell you so that you'll at least know. You might know the exact message, but you don't. Let me tell you something. Salvation is going to be preached from this pulpit every single Sunday morning. Preacher, you know, I'm not sure how to share the gospel. I'm not sure if I can witness to somebody. Can you bring them with you? Can you put them in a pew beside you? If you can do that, then you know what? You're a part of this great process of getting the good news of the gospel to each and every person out there. Boy, let's be busy about that. Let me give you the very last thing. The first Easter sermon also contained a promise for the future. I like this. He not only says in verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, but notice this, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Now think about this. The last thing that Easter angel said was, you go on into Galilee, and you know what? You wait, because Jesus is going to come visit you. And by the way, he did. He didn't just raise from the dead, folks. You know that he made appearances for the next 40 days to everything from individual Christians to great groups of Christians. And you know what? The promise was, you know what? You're going to see him again. He's going to come to you. Say, preacher, we don't have that promise. Yes, we do. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you know what, folks? There's several different ways that we may end up seeing Jesus. You know what? One of them is by death. But you know what? The Bible says, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. You know, if you're saved, you know what? One of these days, you're going to see Jesus. You're going to see Jesus. Forgive me, can I just be a little nostalgic for just a minute? Can I just... You know, Easter Sunday's always been special to me. But Easter Sunday is extra special since the death of my father. And I just want to share this with you. You know, the last time I got to have a talk and a conversation with my dad was on Easter Sunday, 2011. That Sunday morning, I knew the day was going to be busy. I knew I wouldn't have a chance. I mean, Easter Sunday, are you kidding me? And I knew I wouldn't have a chance during the day to sneak up to the hospital, so I decided I'd get up very early in the morning. And I drove up there, I don't know, probably about 5:30 in the morning. I think I got up to Dad's room about 6, and I walked in, and Dad had been battling now. We knew about the brain tumor, and now it was about five and a half weeks later, they put him into the hospital there. And so I walked in, and he was awake when I came in. And he was getting to that place where sometimes, honestly, it was beginning to affect him. And sometimes he would know who you were, and sometimes he would get people confused. And I thought, I wonder how he's going to be this morning. And I walked in, and I leaned over and gave him a kiss. Then I pulled a chair up, and I said, hey, Dad. And he said, hey, Jerry. And I thought, well, good. And I said, hey, I want to read the Bible to you. And he said, okay. And so I opened the Bible, and it was Easter Sunday, so I read in Matthew, and I read the Easter story to him. And then I turned to Mark, and I read the Easter story to him. And I turned to Luke, and I read the Easter story to him. And I turned to John, and I read the Easter story to him. Well, you know, he had a brain tumor, and he was having some difficulties, but by then he figured something out. He looked at me, and he said, son, are you telling me it's Easter Sunday? Is it Easter Sunday? And I said, yes. And he said, then what are you doing here? That's what he said. And I said, well, Dad, I come to visit you. He said, son, it's Easter Sunday. A preacher needs to get to his pulpit. You need to get to church. This is a big deal. Yes, sir. Well, then go. Okay, I'll go. And so I grabbed his hand and leaned over and prayed with him and left. And, you know, going up there, we preached Easter message, you know. By the way, isn't this precious? Got to preach on the resurrection. Got to preach on life after death. Got to preach on he arose. Got to preach on that grave is empty, folks. I mean, that's our hope for eternal life. And then the next morning I got up, busy day at the church. Next morning I got up and I headed towards the hospital, and I got about halfway there, just about Farmersburg, and my phone started ringing, and I opened it up, and it was the nurse, and she was trying to get a hold of the family, and Dad had had a massive seizure. And it was, by the way, the first seizure. I had that brain tumor, only had one seizure. Doctor couldn't believe it. He had that massive seizure, put him into kind of a coma, and from that point on, within 24 hours of that, he'd passed on into heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. Whew. If I got to have a last conversation with my dad, and if I get to read the Bible one last time with my dad, I'm sure glad I got to read about the resurrection. Let me tell you something, folks. That angel came down and rolled a stone away and stood on top of it and gave us the greatest news that anybody has ever heard. He's not here. Death couldn't hold him. Okay? He's up. He's going to take the blood to the mercy seat. He's going to come back for 40 days and try to you know, straighten things out and get their disciples back out of a ship and find out whether they really love him and commission them to go do what they're supposed to do. And then he's going to go up there and he's going to sit on the right hand of the Father and he's going to make intercession for us until one of these days he's going to be told by the Father, it's time. And he's going to step out of heaven and come down to the clouds. And folks, you know what? The angel told them, you're going to see him again. And you know what? The Bible tells me, I'm going to get to see Jesus again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I hope that you just felt a minute ago a little bit of comfort. Because, you know, that's my story with my dad. But everybody sitting in this room has a story of somebody that you said goodbye to. And you know what? You're going to get to see them one of these days. But you're also going to get to see the Lord. Now, there's two ways. You can see him through death. By the way, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You can see him in death. Close your eyes. Exhale down here. Inhale celestial air. Look around. Have the angels escorting you into the presence of God. Get to see Jesus. Or I'm kind of voting for the second one, where Jesus comes down and comes to the clouds and the trumpet sounds. But either way, you know what? I'm going to get to see him one of these days. And you know what? Preacher, there's a lot of hard things in this life. I know it. But you know what? If you're saved, they can't take that from you. But preacher, there's a lot of heartache. I know. But you know, if you're saved, nobody can take that from you. I don't care what happens the rest of today or tomorrow or the next day or the next day. I don't care if the whole world turns upside down. It doesn't matter. You know what? There's some things they can't take away from me, and that's this. One of these days, I'm going to get to see my Savior. Why, preacher? Because there came a day, listen to me, where I fell under Holy Spirit conviction. You know, I wasn't born saved, and nobody's born saved. But I went to a little Baptist church, and I heard a preacher preach the gospel. And I fell under Holy Spirit conviction. And I understood that Jesus died for my sins, was buried and rose again. He did all that for me. And by the way, he did it for you too. I walked forward that day, talked to the preacher, knelt down at an altar. He opened the Bible, showed me some verses. And he showed me this one, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He saw God was working on me. He saw the conviction was there. He saw that I understood. He said, son, you just need to pray and ask Jesus to save you. It's been a long time ago. I couldn't tell you the exact words I prayed and said, and I don't think it matters. All I know is that I wanted to be saved, and I called out to Christ, and I know one thing, that God keeps his promises. How about that? How about that? If you were to die right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? The same Jesus that loved me and saved me loves you, and he's willing to save you today. You know what? At the end of an aisle at an altar in a little Baptist church, I got saved. You know what? You can have that same experience this morning if you would. Jesus loves you, and he wants to save you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that I had the opportunity once again to stand behind a pulpit. And Lord, many, many times now, I got to preach again on the Easter story on an Easter Sunday. What a privilege. I think of the 40-some years my dad had in the ministry and how many times he was able to stand, not just on Easter Sunday, but how many times he was able to stand behind a pulpit and proclaim the story of the resurrection, the story of the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. Lord, there's no greater privilege to be able to tell that story. Lord, we've looked back at that first angel. And Lord, I don't know all that everyone's dealing with here today, but I know this, there's a lot of things going on in this old wicked world that can strike fear in the heart of men. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to have drawn some comfort here this morning. I pray for that one or two or three or more who may be here today that's never truly received you as their personal Savior. And I pray today, Lord, that they would do what I did now many years ago. As soon as the piano begins to play, leave their pew, go to the nearest aisle, come up, and allow us to be able to show them the gospel and for them to be saved today. And Lord, thank you for the command that tells us to go and tell and go and tell. And Lord, what greater story, what an honor, what a privilege to be able to share the gospel. And Lord, we are looking forward one of these days to your return, Lord. We want to see you, but Lord, we don't want to be ashamed when we see you. Help us, Lord, to be busy doing what you've asked us to do until then.